And the Southeast syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. So we're still in dipper number one. I'm calling it the changing of the guard. We have a whole lot before us, even this week before Trump gets sworn in next week. The events of this week alone, just on the confirmations, are going to be pretty full, pretty robust. But the policy formation is underway, and the implementation thereof is already being planned, and the executive orders. But y'all, the amount of work that still has to be done, though, by the other branch of government. Oh, by the way, the Congress has work to do. And we've got the Trump agenda. They're talking about whether it's going to be in a reconciliation bill or whether it's going to be spread out over several. They're also got the confirmations of his appointees to the U.S. Senate. And then we've also got some legislation that's still moving because there are other things that are part of what I might call the Trump agenda, but are the agendas that are driven by members of the body, not the least of which is our own U.S. Senator Katie Britt. So U.S. Senator Katie Britt, oh, by the way, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, also a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee, among others. And she has also really been named as the deputy whip for the Republican caucus up in the Senate. And she's on the line right now. Senator Britt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Thank you so much for letting me join you and for that introduction. It's always good to be with you and in front of your listeners. I have to ask, what is Meatloaf Monday?
Well, we talk about food around here a lot, and somehow or another, that one has had a good ring to it. So
I like it.
One of the Meat and Three restaurants down the road from the studio does Meatloaf Monday, and we decided to grab that and make it our mantra on Mondays.
I am here for it. I talked with the woman next to me all the way up here about different restaurants in Alabama that we love. So I'm going to have to find out what that is and go visit.
All right. Pruitt's Barbecue in Gadsden, Meatloaf Monday. We'll take you there one day.
All right. Well, sounds good. I look forward to it.
Hey, let me. I want to dive in on several things, but mainly, I guess what I want to talk with you about today is the Lake and Riley Act and the confirmations process for Trump's nominations. Let's take our pick here. Let's go Lake and Riley first. I mean, that bill you've got seems to be moving in a bipartisan fashion. And tell us what you got.
Yeah, look, Phil, I am really excited about the momentum that's building behind Lake and Riley. I am excited about what's possible for our country. I think what you are seeing is Democrats are finally understanding they have one choice, and that is they have to decide between whether they continue their open border policies or whether they put the safety and security of Americans first. And so it was excited to roll it back out last week. As you know, it passed the House last year with 37 votes. It came back again and passed this Congress with 48 votes. Actually, our entire Alabama delegation voted for it, so Democrat and Republican. So that was an exciting moment. As we continued to move forward on that, I was very excited to have my good friend John Fetterman co-sponsor the Lake and Riley Act and come out, be the very first Democrat willing to stand with us here in the Senate. After that, obviously, we pulled in Ruben Gallego as a actual co-sponsor of the bill. And if you're doing the math, there are 53 Republicans when we are all here and ready to go, which we hope that'll be the case this week, with Jim Justice being sworn in this week. Additionally, J.D. Vance's replacement, the new senator from Ohio, should be named and sworn in this week before we take the next 60-vote threshold vote. So we're excited about that, but that puts us at 53. John Fetterman and Ruben Gallego put it at 55. We have got to get to 60, and I think that the momentum, what I am hearing, the conversations I'm having with my colleagues, I am calling Democrats, I am talking to Democrats, I am saying now is the time to act, now is the time to save America's children, and now is the time to actually get things done. And I have been thrilled by both the support and the momentum this bill continues to gain.
Well, it's kind of funny. You got appointed as deputy whip like in the last week, and you're whipping your own bill right off the bat. I mean, like, you didn't even slow down. You just said, I'm the deputy whip, and you start cracking the whip. That's what it looks like.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, I was honored to be selected to serve in that position, and so I am going to just continue to work diligently for the conference, to work diligently for President Trump to move his agenda forward. I mean, as you know, look, particularly when you think about something like border security, there was no more litigated issue over the last 4 years than that. And so knowing what the American people want and then having an opportunity to be in the position, as you know, I have never been in the majority as a U.S. senator, only having been here one Congress. And so I know that the American people are depending on us to actually have action. I mean, Phil, we've talked and talked and talked. Now we're in charge. We have the House, the Senate,
right.
And within the next week, we will have the White House. Praise be to God. And so now we got to go get something done. And so I am working those votes. I am working through issues with people, explaining the impact of the bill, and excited about what's possible.
Well, I am too. And real quickly, that particular bill, of course, named for Laken Riley, the young lady who was murdered by an illegal immigrant in Georgia. And the bill does a couple of things. I mean, it has a deportation piece built into it, if I'm not mistaken, but it also allows states to sue the Department of Homeland Security. Am I right?
You are correct, Phil. So first off, what it does is if an illegal alien is convicted of or is charged with, arrested for, convicted of a theft-related crime, it allows for, detention of that migrant.
Okay.
And what you see is it does not take away a migrant's or, illegal alien's due process. If they have an immigration status proceeding that's moving forward, if they're in their criminal proceeding, that is allowed to move forward. But what it does do is it takes them off the street. And if this bill had been law, Laken Riley would still be alive. When it comes to what the states can do, it actually gives the states standing to push back when the Department of Homeland Security, Phil, is not enforcing immigration law. And so you've seen this time and time again, when we know what the federal government should be doing, when we know what Secretary Mayorkas should be doing, and they're not, this allows states to actually force the issue there. And I think it could make a world of difference.
Well, I agree. And by the way, I said deportation, I meant detention. So thank you for clarifying that. But so the reality is, what we're not going to do is have a criminal illegal alien. We're going to just running the streets and catch and release again and again. Basically, they'll be detained, and that's just the way it's going to be as an act of Congress. But then I love
right,
the idea of the AGs being able to bring redress on behalf of their state citizens. That's great.
Yeah. And so, Phil, when you think about what you just said, when you committed a crime, I was getting asked about this yesterday, was on CNN's Jake Tapper, State of the Union, and he said something about this. I said, Jake, if you don't commit a crime, this doesn't apply to you.
That's right.
So, I mean, let's start there. You don't have to worry about it if you don't go commit a crime. But, the numbers that were released from ICE said there are about 66,000, migrants that have come here illegally and then have actually committed a theft-related crime. And of those, 59,000 of those have been given their final orders of removal, which means that out of the 11 million people that are here illegally, out of the 7.8 million that are actually in removal proceedings, the 1.4 million who we have given their due process and we say, you have to leave, out of that, 59,000 out of the 66 that have committed these crimes have been given their final order of removal. They shouldn't be here anyway. And
no.
So what we're saying is if you commit a crime, you go to the front of the line when it comes to detention and deportation.
Yeah, I love that. And oh, by the way, detaining them, not just letting them sort of bail out, if you will. I mean, they are a flight risk. The fact that they came here illegally indicates that they're willing to be someone who traverses and tries to run from things or run to things. So they are absolutely someone that needs to be detained so the full system can be brought to bear. Hey, listen, Senator, thank you for that, by the way. And I look forward to seeing that thing track. And I believe you already passed a procedural hurdle on this, didn't you?
We sure did. We passed our first large hurdle, the 60-vote threshold. We got 84 votes for it, 9 votes against it. Today, we'll have a motion to proceed. That's at a 50-vote threshold. Then the next big vote, we will have some amendments, most likely between next and the next big vote, which will be the last 60-vote threshold. And then there'll be another vote at a 50-vote threshold. So we've still got a lot of work in front of us. But what I want the people of Alabama and this country to know is I am diligently working to move this forward and to make sure that it is on a path to be on President Trump's desk on the day he is sworn in. I mean, how good will that feel to know that we are actually doing things that matter, that, you know, that that will keep our communities, that can keep our children safe, and that start to change the dynamic of what it means to come here illegally and commit crimes against American citizens. There are repercussions for that, and this will be a big moment.
Well, by the way, just so you know, too, today is the first day that we are live on the air in Chattanooga, Tennessee, so you're speaking to two states, so that's all.
Well,
actually,
Chattanooga
states.
Has two wonderful senators, U.S. senators representing them, and Bill Hagerty and Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah.
They are both fierce champions, not only of this bill, but on all the issues that matter, and certainly great partners, and it is a privilege to work with both of them.
Well, and I'm sure that and that is the case. I'm actually fans of them from a distance, but hopefully we'll have them on the show sometime.
We'll have to get them
future.
On the show.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We'll work on that. I'll say something to both of them, Phil.
Oh, thank you. Awesome. Great. And I appreciate that. And hey, listen, Senator, with about maybe 2.5 minutes left, confirmations start tomorrow. And I'm sure you're going to be sitting on some committee or another is going to have somebody come through it. But what are you thinking right now? What are we going to see all of them get through? Is there anybody who's still hung up on votes? Where are we looking right now with the confirmations process?
Yeah, look, we are excited. I think you can feel it in the conference. President Trump came and met with us last week. It was an exciting meeting because, you know, as I told you, kind of the dynamic shifted last summer when he came and met with all of us. You could feel a unity that I have not had an opportunity to feel as a Republican senator. That continued in that meeting last week. We talked about what we needed to get done. And the very first thing we know we need to do is get his people in place that can help execute his vision. And execute what is in front of us and what we need to do. So I feel good about this. I'll be for the very time on the Senate Judiciary Committee. I will be, you know, have Pam Bondi in front of me there in the Judiciary Committee. We've got a number of important ones moving forward. I think the Republican Conference writ large understands that we've got to get people in there that are willing to shake things up. Business as usual is not working. Business as usual is not what the American people voted for. They voted for transformational leaders that understand that we have got a window of time to take our country back. And so you're going to see that in these hearings. I have been so impressed with everyone that I've had an opportunity to meet with, every nominee. We've talked about their vision, how they'll execute President Trump's plan. And we've also had an opportunity to talk about Alabama. I mean, for instance, when, you know, I had Pete Hegseth come in, we talked about how important it is to have Space Command in Huntsville, Alabama,
yeah.
Its rightful home.
Yeah.
You know, we won fair and square. There's a reason for it because Huntsville is the best location, Redstone Arsenal, for national security and to keep our country safe and to keep our prominence across the globe. But we talk about a number of issues when the EPA administrator came in, or, you know, soon to be EPA administrator, you know, talking about some of the things that have been impediments to our farm families. We know that they're the best stewards of their land and resources of anyone out there, and making sure that can continue to be the case, you know, by rolling back of that. Some of those things, some of the issues we've had with a number of things in the state, each and every person who comes and talks to us had the secretary, soon to be Secretary of Education, you know, Linda McMahon in here, the nominee for that, talked about school choice, talked about how critically important it is, talked about the steps that Alabama has made in that area and ways we can work together to continue to improve that across the country. So over and over and over again, they have just been exceptional meetings. They've been very transparent, Phil. I take my Article 2, Section 2 duties very, I hold that in the place that it needs to, which means I have to take this serious. I have to ask tough questions. I have
right.
to push and make sure that I get the answers the American people and the president need. And they, each of them, have been transparent, and I have been very pleased with the answers I've received. And so I'm excited about getting this cabinet confirmed. You know, I'm sure the Democrats will bring their best game, but these are good quality individuals who I hope we can get in there quickly and they can get to work.
Senator, as we part ways here, I don't know the answer to this. Is it a simple majority on the floor for confirmations? Is that what we need? Or
it is.
Okay.
As you know, things have kind of they call it going nuclear and have busted the filibuster. It started with Harry Reid and then continued. And so
Right. Yes,
nominees are just at a 50 vote threshold. So that'll be what we're working with. So we've got 53 Republicans. So technically we could lose three because we have J.D. Vance. We could lose three on any nominee. There are several nominees. John Fetterman and I were on Brett Baer last week on Common Ground to talk about the Lakin Rally Act. And in that interview, John leaned into several of the nominees that he plans on voting for already. I've had several of my other colleagues on the floor as I've been, you know, working some of these nominees. They've asked me, kind of given me a list of people, and I've been talking to them diligently about trying to kind of garner a bigger bipartisan coalition for some of these nominees. So I think some of them will sail through. There will be others that will have a little bit more of a challenging dynamic, the things you're reading in, obviously in the paper and other and otherwise. But I do think, truly, the Republican Conference is committed to giving this their very best, their best to get these people across the finish line.
And Senator, I hate it, but I'm going to have to go to break now. But thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to what's happening. I'll be up at the inaugural next week. Maybe Charlene and I will see you, but we appreciate your time and what you're doing.
Absolutely. We'd love to see you. Hey, and good to obviously be in front of the people of Alabama, and welcome to the people from Chattanooga.
Absolutely. Thanks, Senator. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's U.S. Senator Katie Britton. Boy, we ran long, so we're gonna cram in a quick break, come right back, and probably cram in another one right after that. But then Congressman Gary Palmer coming. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.